KLZ 560 AM and FM presents ATX, Ask the Experts, the most informative consumer-driven talk radio program in Denver. Now we turn our attention to estate planning with attorney Michael Bailey. 9 years ago, Michael became aware of a dire need for long-term care for our wartime veterans. He understands that many of his aging clients can't get around anymore, so he designed his practice to be mobile. He'll come to you to assist with VA benefits, Medicaid, and estate planning, including wills, trusts, and how to avoid probate. Keep this number in your phone because your questions and comments are welcome. 303-477-5600. Now on ATX, Ask the Expert, Michael Bailey on KLZ 560, The Source. AM 560, FM 100.7. Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, all he left us was alone.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 AM, KLZ, The Source. Also heard on 1220 AM, 95.3 FM, 100.7 FM, 560thesource.com, and the TuneIn app. I think I got all of them, so it's always exciting to try and run through all of them. Phone number to talk to us on the air is 303-477-5600, and my direct line is 720-394-6887. So, I was, it's his first day of school today, at least for my kids, so I dropped the kids off, went with my wife, and we dropped the kids off at school today, which was kind of exciting. And you know, kind of got us, you know, so I was talking with my wife about stuff. And just a couple of days ago, we were out running together because we do go running together. We've worked our way from the first time I took her running with me. We ran about about a quarter mile, and I think it nearly killed her. But we were able to, we can go a couple miles together. So, you know, I tend to run a little bit faster than she does, but still, it's being able to go out and run with her that is a good thing. But we've got, so we were out running, and I said to her, so what should I talk about on my show? She says, I don't know. So she went and, so she said to me, well, why don't you talk about the difference between what happens if you do have stuff in place as opposed to if you don't? And I said, okay. So I started thinking about that, and one of the things we talked about is what happens at the end of life and what's going to happen. And then just earlier this week, I got a call from somebody who wanted to know what his mother was entitled to from his the stepfather's estate. So his mother had, there was a stepfather. They had never been officially married, but they, you know, from what he was telling me, looked like they were common law married. And so apparently the stepfather is in, some sort of, hospice and probably not going to make it very long. And so the stepfather in hospice isn't going to make it very long. You know, and the guy who called me seemed to think in the next day or two he wasn't going to make it. So the son called me and said, well, you know, we're worried about my mom because even though they were common law married and never officially married, she never got her hands put on – she never got her name put on the house as a joint owner with stepfather. So stepfather is the only owner of the house, and mom is not an official owner of the house. So I said, okay, well, that's good. So let's talk about what we're going to do and how that's going to work. And, you know, how is that going to happen? So I asked, the first thing I asked was, okay, so does the stepfather have a will? He said, yes. So I said, okay. So what does the will say? Well, the will says that stepdad is going to leave mom all of $15,000. And that $15,000 is supposed to be so that she can be completely taken care of for the rest of her life. Now, I don't know about you, but $15,000 doesn't sound like a ton of money to be using for the rest of your life, especially when these people are in their mid to late 80s. So it's like, okay, well, that sounds great. That sounds great. So we've got a good question there of how in the heck are we going to have $15,000 that's going to last forever? I mean, maybe when the will was set up 20-some-odd years ago, or I guess they'd only been living together for 16 years, so it's been 16 years that they've been common law married, but 16 years ago, $15,000 might not have been what a terrible, horrible thing to do. But $15,000 in today's money doesn't go that far. I mean, $15,000 can be 1 month at a skilled nursing facility where, and suddenly you're out of money. So this this son was rightfully concerned about, well, what are we going to do? You know, I mean, she's lived in the house with him for 16 years, and what do we do? So I said, okay, well, there's lots of questions. There's lots of things that are going on here. There's lots of things that will be happening because we've got, so we start with first of, okay, well, are you actually a spouse? So we have to go through the analysis of whether or not somebody is a person is, we have to go in, you know, whether or not somebody is actually married. So we get into that question of whether or not somebody is common law married or, you know, officially married. Well, officially married is nice. You have a marriage certificate. It's signed by the person who officiated the ceremony, whoever that person may be, whether it's a minister or a judge, or you say, okay, look, we're married. We've got the official legal channels to say we're married. Cool. All right. Well, that's pretty simple. Well, common law marriage can be a little bit trickier. Now, common law marriage, as far as I understand it, you have to live together, sleep together, and, you know, hold yourself out as a married couple and have joint things in, have joint things, some sort of joint account, at least one, whether it's you put both names on the mailbox or you have a joint checking account or you tell people you're married and you have, you know, all of these things. So those are kind of the basic requirements. There's lots of things to explore. There's lots of, you know, different factors that get involved, but that's kind of the basic thing that we've got there. So we've got a good question about things of, you know, whether or not they're actually married. So in this person's case, they're going to have to prove that they were common law married to be able to claim any sort of spouse or any sort of spousal ability to claim against the will. Because in Colorado, at least, there are rules that govern how much you can leave to a spouse and how much you can't leave to a spouse. So one of the rules is that if you are married for basically for every year you're married, you're entitled to 5% of your spouse's estate, up to 50% if you've been married for 10 years or longer. So in this case, if they've been common law married for 16 years, then she's entitled to up to 50% of her soon to be a deceased spouse's estate, no matter what the will says. So that was kind of the first question I asked was, well, you know, how, you know, you got to look at that. So, you know, this person who hadn't planned for the marriage, they had, you know, questions of where can we be? So you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ. I always look up at the stupid numbers and I read them wrong because we've got a 560, a 1220, a 95.3, 100.7, a 560thesource.com, and a TuneIn app. So this is what I get for trying to memorize all that stuff and then looking at the numbers and screwing myself. It's not a good idea. I need to just read what I'm saying. So it is 560 KLZ, the source, and our phone number is 303-477-5600. And my direct line is 720-394-6887. So back to this person. We said, okay, well, if you can prove that you're common law married, then you have to elect against the will to get your 50%. So, you know, the son of the mom who I was talking to was pretty excited that she could get up to 50%. I said, well, here's the thing. is that you're also going to, you know, you're going to have to go to court. You're going to have to provide the probate court with proof that you were common law married. You're going to have to provide the common law or the court with proof that you have to make an election against the estate to get your 50%. So that's what you're going to have to do, which is much more difficult, and you have to play that all out in the court process than if there'd been some, pre-planning. You know, my other client who wanted to get 50% of the estate because they'd been married for 15 years, common law married, I said, well, let's sit down and let's put that in the will of the 50%. And then if you're giving them 50% or more, then the other 50% you can give to whomever you want, but then they're not going to elect against the will because they've got their amount that they're supposed to get. Okay. See, a little bit simpler. But, in this case where the guy was in hospice and only had a couple of days left, probably not going to have time to get there and get things taken care of. And especially if he's on his last day or two of life, there might be mental competency issues. Now, having said that, I had another client who called me, and he has cancer, and the doctors tell him it's terminal. And he said, well, we'd like to get it done, and we're going to put him into hospice on this day, and we'd like to try. So I ended up going up to the hospital, and I sat down with him with my computer, and we prepared the will and powers of attorney and everything. And then I actually ended up emailing them off to his son, who'd gone off to a FedEx Kinko's, who got the documents, printed them off. We brought them home, brought them back to the hospital. We got them signed, witnessed, notarized, and moved on. And now when the father passes away, it's very clear of exactly what he wanted. It's written out, and away we go. Now, some people say, well, what if we don't want to leave 50% to our spouse? And this is a case you run into, and I have run into a lot with people, where they have, their first marriage, they got married, they raised their kids. Then for whatever reason, the marriage ended. Sometimes it ends in divorce. Sometimes it ends in death of a spouse. So we have an end of a marriage. And then later on in life, they find somebody else that they would like to marry. So people who get married in their late 40s, early 50s to a second spouse, they've pretty much raised their children. So each comes to the marriage with assets. Each comes to the marriage with adult children. So these type of marriages, the people aren't necessarily going to be so excited to say, oh, well, let's just combine all of our assets and we'll split them up among all of the kids equally, and that will be good and happy, and we're done. Well, kids may not be so keen on that. I have three siblings. I have an older sister and two younger brothers. And as much as we get along, we do fight from time to time. And if we fight from time to time, we can get mad at each other, but we usually get over it because we are all children and we'll be able to figure it out. Well, if we've got the deal where if you combine families, those kids may not get along as well. And especially if one of the new married people comes in with more assets. Let's say somebody comes in and they're coming to a second marriage and they've got their house paid off and some IRA 401k, so they're worth about $400,000. Somebody else comes to the marriage, they haven't been able to pay off a house because of some of the things that have gone on, and so suddenly we have they're worth only $150,000 because that's their savings, but they don't have the house to have that type of savings. Well, someone may look at that and say, well, one came to the marriage with, 2.5 times as much money. So is it really fair that we split that up amongst all these other kids that we don't know anything about? We have no relationship with. So we don't necessarily want to split money evenly among all the kids. So in that case, we say, all right, well, let's look and see what we can do. Now, a lot of times when the people get married, they don't necessarily come up with a marital agreement. And they don't say, okay, I'm coming into this marriage with X number of dollars. You're coming with Y number of dollars. We agree that we're going to keep them separate. And now that they're separate, we're going to pass them on to other people. That's not necessarily you know, a lot of people who are getting married, they're like, oh, well, we're going to get married. And then, oh, wait, we got to figure out assets. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's probably something to figure out. I mean, when I got married, it was pretty simple. I had a car that was worth a couple $100. I had a desk that was worth $10. And my clothes that, I don't know, you probably could have sold in a garage sale for $25 total. You know, just not a whole lot I was bringing into a marriage because I was still in law school and didn't have a ton of money that was going, you know, I was marrying my wife for love, not because we were going to, you know, it wasn't, you know, for richness or anything like that. And, you know, my wife had a similar type of net worth. So there wasn't a ton of, you know, assets involved. So we weren't concerned about it. And, you know, we've been married for 13 and a half, pushing 14 years now. And, you know, so far so good. And what we've earned has, you know, been for us to use and use on our kids and all that type of stuff. So that's been our life. Well, you know, if at some point in the future I were to die and my wife were to remarry, I think she would probably want to have the option of preserving some of her assets for our kids and not sharing them with whomever else she were to marry if I were to die. So when we look at that, we go, all right, we've got this deal here. And if you're like, we didn't prepare a marital agreement when we started. So can we there was no prenuptial agreement. Can we do a postnuptial agreement? Well, I keep referring them to marital agreements because we call them marital agreements in Colorado. So prenuptial, postnuptial, they're just all marital agreements. And if we've got marital agreement, we can do that at some point after someone has been married. So I don't necessarily go through and do a full, oh, we're going to do a marital agreement and this and that and whatever. I say, okay, we're going to meet the same, standards of what people do, you know, or what's required of a marital agreement so that it's validly executed. But we're going to do it just so we say, all right, we understand that we brought in assets from each couple. And we understand that we brought in assets to the marriage, so we don't really want to, you know, we don't necessarily want to claim those upon the death of one of the spouses. So we'll do what I kind of refer to jokingly as a marital agreement light, where we still meet the necessary requirements of a marital agreement. We say, you know, this is executed for purposes of saying we're not going to claim our 50% of a person's of my spouse's assets when they die, because I understand that we came in with separate assets and we want those assets to go to the kids. So we can do that. All right, fair enough. So that's part of an estate plan, is planning for situations instead of being stuck like this mother saying, well, I guess now when he dies, we're going to need to go ahead and claim things in probate and fight it out there. And this potential client who called me said, well, you know, so when's a good time to tell the personal representative of my stepdad's estate that we're going to do this? I said, you know, you can warn them at any time. You can let them know, hey, you know, we understand that we're supposed to be entitled to 50% because we've got this problem going on. So we're probably going to end up claiming that, just so that you give them the heads up and, you know, they know what's coming. So we've got all that. But it can all be avoided if you plan ahead. Or you can be like one of my other clients, who I'll tell you the story of in just a second. But you are listening to 560 KLZ, The Source, also heard on 1220 AM, 95.3 FM, and 100.7 FM. This is Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey, and our phone number in studio is 303-477-5600. And my direct line is 720-394-6887. So I also had a client from just a month or two ago who, they were in this situation where they had gotten married later in life. And since they'd gotten married later in life, they were going to talk about, they each brought in like $750,000 to $800,000 to the marriage. So, you know, it was a fairly significant amount of money. And I think a lot of it had come from, one of them had sold a house and so got the proceeds from the sale of the house that they brought with them. The other one had a sizable 401k account. So they each had, you know, $750,000, $800,000. And what they wanted to do was to take care of each other for the rest of their lives, but then get the, whatever was left over to their kids. So, you know, they wanted to know if they could just do that in a will. I said, well, probably not, because you're going to have to set up a trust that says, all right, so you have to set up a trust account, because that way you can control, you control money after you die through a trust. So we say, okay, we're going to put our assets into a trust. They're going to be available for the use of the other person if they need it. Or in this case, they had a joint house that they owned. And so she was going to be able to live in the house. But then when the house, when she died or she moved out of the house, then the proceeds, we'd look at who put money into the house and then split it up amongst the kids. So what we had was we planned the trust. So the trust would allow the other spouse to have use of the property while they are alive, but not necessarily to take all of that money and use it for themselves or on their kids instead of for the deceased spouse's kids. So, you know, it was a little bit more complicated, and it was the type of thing where we had to go and figure that out and, you know, write it up. And we ended up using, in this case, I just used a couple of trusts. Sometimes I've done it before where you create one trust for the wife, one trust for the husband, and then one trust for joint property, and, you know, split things up three different ways, you know, all of which is designed so that we can accomplish the goals of, the, of what they wanted. And, you know, in that case, the one where I used the two trusts or the three trusts, it worked out pretty well. So that we could have the money and the assets used to take care of the surviving spouse, but then the final beneficiaries was going to go to the kids. So, it made for a very interesting situation, but we planned for it now instead of getting to the end and saying, like the potential client who called me, oh, wait, you know, so we had it all planned out of here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to, you know, what's going to, how it's going to run when upon death. And so mom took care of her kids. Dad could take care of her kids. The joint assets, we split up differently and we could all move on, as opposed to, oh, well, you know, now that my second husband has died, who I was married to for, I was married to for, you know, the last 15 years of my life from age 50 or age 55 to age 70. Well, you know, now I'm going to be able to claim all of that money. Now, you know, I'm not saying that people aren't allowed to claim money, that you're not allowed to get money from somebody you're married to. You know, that's part of the reason that you get married, is to share all of your life together, not to necessarily, you know, parcel it all out. But if you're thinking you want to treat your kids, the thing is that it's almost like, you know, I mean, the proverbial gold digger situation is where you get into, whereas, you know, oh, well, you're just marrying for money. So that's what we're trying to avoid, is somebody coming in and getting all the money. And, you know, gold digging can be either way. It can be, you know, a guy marries a rich woman, or a girl marries a rich guy, or at least richer than they are. And that can cause all sorts of problems between kids and other kids. I mean, you know, I think of the movie Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, where the dad had married the girl that was the same age as the kids, or at least, you know, a year or two older. And he's like, dude, your mom's hot. Do you remember when you asked her to the prom? And, you know, it's like, well, you know, or I mean, since it's a movie, I can make fun of Bill and Ted, right? And Keanu Reeves and his excellent acting ability. Yeah, okay. Sorry. Keanu Reeves may be good at doing what he does, but you know, I don't think he's going to win Best Actor anytime soon. When he's like, whoa, dude. You know, even in The Matrix, he kind of played the surfer dude character a little bit. But you know, in that case, maybe you want to set up assets so that they're not going to the super young person or the second marriage, because you don't want this, because that doesn't seem fair to the first set of kids. All right, cool. Well, you have to plan for it. Otherwise, you end up with a mess on your hand, and you end up having to try to prove, in this case, you know, in the case of the person that I first talked about, oh, well, we're trying to prove that this is a common law marriage. Well, if it's a if it's an official marriage, that's easier. But, you know, now we have to try to claim up to 50% of the assets through the court process. Well, it's one of those things is that we have it's one of those deals that we have to have a person who we have to plan for it. You can't just, if you just leave it to chance, or, you know, you end up where you're in court and everybody loves to go to court. Everybody loves to fight things out in court, right? It's just the most exciting thing in the world. Like, ooh, do you know what I get to do this afternoon? I get to go fight things in court. Yay. I mean, it's almost the same as going to Waterworld. You're like, yes, I'm going to go to Waterworld tomorrow. I'm going to ride all the rides. I'm going to get wet. I'm going to be, you know, hope it doesn't rain. This would be awesome. Or I'm going to go to court and I'm going to try to fight out how much money I'm supposed to get from my deceased spouse's estate. Those are pretty much the same, right? Or wait, no, they're not the same at all in any way, shape, or form. Hmm. Well, this is not good. So we want to plan for it so that we don't have to fight it all out in court. So, you know, that's what estate planning is all about. It goes a whole lot easier, a whole lot smoother when you have a plan in place. So thanks for listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ The Source. Rush Reasons up next. Talk to you later. Thanks and bye.
Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey will return to ATX next Wednesday at 2:30 here on KLZ 560 The Source. AM 560, FM 100.7, and online at 560thesource.com.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.